We'll commence to read at verse 1. There's only 10 verses in the Psalm. Psalm 111 and the verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honourable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast for ever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Amen. And we know that God always blesses. But verse 31. Luke chapter 22 in the verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto them, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Move over to verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him, and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Sure, this is a familiar portion of Scripture to you all here today. Of course, it tells us about Peter. And we know Peter because he denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. It does seem to be a pity of all the good things that we could say about Peter that we have chosen the one incident in his life that shows him in the worst possible light. However, this incident in the life of Peter is in the Scriptures and it's there for our learning. And of course, we need to study this and we need to learn from it. It ought to be a warning to us, those of us here who are saved. We seek to serve the Lord. We seek to go on with Him. We need to look at it. We need to learn from it. And we need to apply it to our own hearts. There are young people in this service today. There are old people in this service today. And whether we're young people or whether we're a little older, if we're saved, there are things here from this portion of Scripture that we can learn. We alike are in the same danger of falling, just as Peter was. No one is in any exception or exempt from falling. No one is immune from the possibility of spiritual downfall. To some people, Peter is the best known and the best loved apostle. For this reason, I maybe think that it is the case that he displays he's just as human as we are. In Peter's behavior and the things that he does, he's just impulsive and impetuous, just like us. Peter made mistakes. Peter spoke unwisely, just like we do. These are things about Peter that we can learn from. These are things about Peter that we can identify with. Maybe you say today, well, Mark, I have never spoken unwisely. Mark, I have never done anything foolish. Well, that's your first thing that you've done, speaking about it, because we do. We all do, because we're human. And it is a human thing to make mistakes. He made mistakes. He spoke unwisely. Peter was an unlearned. He was a rough, clumsy fisherman. Maybe those characteristics are things that attract us to Peter. As we learn here in Luke chapter 22, as we discover and as we read down through that whole chapter, it's very sad. Because in that chapter, we read and we learn that Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we read that chapter, as we read Luke chapter 22, we must remember two things. Peter did not expect to deny the Lord Jesus Christ, even though the Lord warned Peter that he would. You look there in verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Look at verse 34. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. The Lord Jesus Christ himself had warned Peter that Peter would deny the Lord three times. Peter never expected that this would be the case. He never believed that he would deny the Lord. And we must also remember that Peter's fall was gradual. No one denies the Lord Jesus Christ suddenly. No one falls suddenly. Backsliding is a process. It happens over stages. It happens over a process of time. Very quickly this morning, I want us to look at the steps which led Peter down into denial. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian. Maybe you're here today and you love and you serve the Lord. And maybe you're a very active Christian. Maybe you're a Christian that serves the Lord with such zeal and such enthusiasm. We all today are in danger of backsliding. We all today are in danger of falling away from the Lord. The Bible says that he that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. And maybe you're here today and you say to me, Mark, I would never deny the Lord. Mark, I would never backslide. Mark, I would never neglect the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. But very quickly, for the time that we have left, I want us to consider the steps which brought Peter. Peter, a disciple, a follower of the Lord. A man who looked at the Lord, a man who walked with the Lord, a man who talked with the Lord in the person of Jesus Christ, he denied the Lord. Let us see these steps which brought Peter down into denial. The first step is self-confidence. The first step is self-confidence. Notice verse 33. Verse 33, and this is Peter. He speaks to the Lord and he said, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Peter here says, Lord, I'm going to go with you all the way. Lord, I'll go with you to prison. I'll go with you to death. I will not leave you. I will stay with you the whole way. Does verse 33 not suggest overconfidence? It does to me. Peter said this after a very solemn warning from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see there in verse 31. The Lord has told Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The Lord has warned Peter. And in the midst of this warning, Peter is so arrogant, he is so confident, he is overconfident. He says, Lord, I'll go with you all the way. Lord, I'll die with you. Lord, I'll go with you to prison. Lord, I'll not leave you. Lord, I'll stay with you. Lord, I'll never forsake you. Lord, you can count on me. Peter was overconfident. Peter had his confidence in himself. It is always a dangerous thing to be overconfident. It is a dangerous thing for a Christian to be overconfident, maybe even arrogant. Now, I'm not saying that a Christian shouldn't have confidence. I'm not saying that we should have confidence in ourselves. Maybe you are in the children's work. Maybe you're on the outreach team. Maybe you are a Sunday school teacher. And to do that service for the Lord, you must have self-confidence. You must have the confidence in yourself that you're able to do that work. You think of a school teacher. A school teacher must have confidence to go to the front, to speak to a class of 30 youngsters or so. We have to have confidence in ourselves. We have to know that we're able to do it. But what I'm saying is self-confidence is trusting in ourselves. That's what Peter was doing. He had placed his confidence not in the Lord, but he had put his confidence in himself. It is fatal for a Christian to boast of what they are going to do. How valuable they are in the Lord's work. How valuable they are to the church. That's a fatal thing. That is so dangerous. We discover this self-confidence in Peter when he tried to walk on the water in Matthew chapter 14. You turn back a few pages to Matthew 14. You'll see exactly what I'm talking of. Matthew 14. The disciples are in a little ship. They're in the sea. They're afraid. They see a figure walking towards them on the water. Peter, in verse 28, he says, Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. In this little vessel, who was the first disciple to speak? It was Peter. I believe that Peter hadn't even thought. Peter was the man, he was the type of fellow that just rushed straight in. Always jumped in, feet first. And the Lord said, come. The Lord did say, come. And Peter did step out of the little vessel. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Oh, Peter was so willing. Peter was the first out of those disciples to speak. Lord, if it's you, you bid me to come to thee on the water. And Peter did go. And then whenever he was out of the safety of the little vessel, he begins to look around him. And he sees the waves to and fro. And he sees the storm. He looks at the circumstance all around him. And then he realizes he's in a problem here. Look. And he just took his eyes off the Lord and he began to sing. Do you know there's Christians like that? There are Christians who, as they walk through this life, as they seek to serve the Lord, they jump in feet first. They don't stop to think. They don't stop to reason it through. They don't stop to apply common sense. They don't stop to apply logic. Well, if the Lord wants me to do it, I'll just have to do it. And they jump in feet first. And then whenever they're in the midst of a problem, they look around them and they say, how did I get here? How did I get into this problem? Well, the Lord allowed me to get into this problem. But did you stop to think? Did you stop just to look? Did you stop just for one moment and pause and ponder? You know, it's a dangerous thing to be rash. It's a dangerous thing to have our confidence in ourselves. We need to be cautious of self-confidence. We need to be cautious in relying in ourselves in any shape or form because it always leads to failure. If you're a Christian here today and you want to serve the Lord, you rely on the Lord. You ask the Lord to show you what He would have you do. And if you're a young Christian here today and you want to serve the Lord and maybe you think, Lord, where would you have me? What would you want me to do? Ask the Lord to show you what He wants you to do. Don't jump in feet first. Step back and take your time. Think. Reason it out. Apply common sense. A very godly man one time told me that common sense isn't all that common. And you know he's right. Common sense isn't all that common. We can never depend on ourselves because we are rash. We are clumsy. We are unlearned. We are just like Peter. We make mistakes. And Peter was such. He depended on himself. Notice with me, secondly, the second step was prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. Notice verse 40. Verse 40 of Luke chapter 22. When he was at the place, he said unto them, this is the Lord, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Notice verse 45. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. The Lord Jesus in verse 40 tells them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. You need to pray. You need to pray. Go and pray. And then in verse 45, whenever the Lord comes and he finds the disciples, what are they doing? They're lying fast asleep. You see, the thing is today that self-confidence and prayerlessness goes together. If you think about it, self-confidence and prayerlessness go together. Why do we need to pray? If we believe ourselves to be strong enough, if you believe yourself today to be godly enough, if you believe yourself to be strong enough to do whatever the Lord wants you to do, why do you need to pray? What is prayer? Whenever you pray, you get before the Lord and you acknowledge your need of Him. That's why I prayed before I started the message, because I need the Lord to help me. I need the Lord to be with us. I need the Lord to give me help here, and I need the Lord to open your ears and our eyes that we might see and hear. Prayer is an Prayer is an admission of our need of the Lord. So if we think that we don't need Him, why should we pray? And if we don't pray, then we're self-confident because we think that we're okay. Peter was self-confident. He was fast asleep when he should have been praying. Prayer is an admission of weakness and insufficiency. Prayerlessness is probably the reason for maybe 90% of spiritual breakdowns. No prayer. Maybe you're here today and you're following the Lord afar off, like Peter did in verse 54. Peter at this stage in his life was following the Lord afar off. Ask yourself now, is the main reason for things cold in your life due to the lack of prayer? Maybe you're a Christian here, but you're not praying, you're not reading your Bible. You're a prayerless Christian. We ought to be diligent. We can't be prayerless. Do you know that prayer is a great weapon in the armor of the Christian? You think of prayer. Whenever we pray, we have the ear of God. His ear is open to our cry. How many times a day do we pray for our family, our children as they go to school, as they go out in the car? How many times do we ask for the Lord's help ourselves as we go to work? How many times do we come before the Lord and say, Lord, bless my family. Lord, just keep them safe. How many times? We don't, because we're so self-confident. I remember as a child, my mother knew an old godly man. He never married. And I think he was well in his 80s when he passed away. But every single time that man got into the car, he prayed. Before he started the car, he prayed, Lord, keep me safe and grant me safety in my journey. And that man, in all of his years of driving, never had an accident. Never. Not even an earshave. Because the Lord was with him. He acknowledged that even in a simple thing like that, he needed the Lord. We are so busy rushing here and there, we have hardly time to put a seatbelt on. Never mind pray. Isn't that right? So busy, so confident. We don't need the Lord. You should put your seatbelt on, by the way. Do take the time. That's true. We're so busy. We've hardly time. So confident. Notice with me the third step was carnality. Carnality. Verse 50, what does it tell us? One of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Who was that? That was Peter. The Lord Jesus Christ is here in the garden. It tells us that Judas has come in verse 47. He is one of the 12, and he went before them. He drew near to the Lord. He gave the Lord Jesus Christ a kiss. But Jesus said unto him, verse 48, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto the Lord, shall we smite with the sword? They had asked the question. The Lord didn't answer. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Who was that? That was Peter. Peter was always there. He was always jumping in. He never took the time to step back and think. Peter always acted rashly. Peter lived and acted in the energy of the flesh. He always did things with his head. We should be living in the power of the Spirit. We should be guided with the Spirit. It's an indication that we are out of touch with the Lord when we do rash and unspiritual things. A carnal Christian can so quickly bring dishonor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why in every decision that we make in life, we need to take our time. We need to think it through. Sometimes it's an easy thing to know what we want. And we look at something. Maybe we look at someone. Maybe you're a young person here today and you're looking at someone and you want them. Maybe you're going to ask them out. Maybe you're going to ask them to marry you. Maybe you're thinking of getting married. It's an easy thing, even as somebody that's a little older, to look at something and say, I want that. I must have that. That's a dangerous way to live, because that is living and acting in the energy of the flesh. We can't do that. Peter did that. He cut off the ear. He cut off Malchus's ear. He didn't wait for the Lord to answer. In verse 49, because they asked the Lord, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And before the Lord answered, one of them did it. And who was it? It was Peter. It was Peter. Peter was living a carnal life. We should live in the energy of the Spirit. If we live our lives in the energy of the flesh, we will fail. If we live and act in the energy of the flesh, we will live a carnal life. You know, it's an easy thing to look at somebody that's out in the world and see the things that they're doing and say, look at that carnal person there. But we as Christians never step back and say, am I a carnal person? What is carnality? It's looking at those things all around us, looking at those worldly things. It's an easy thing to say that about somebody that lives in the world. Sometimes it is the case for the Christian. Are the things that we do spiritual? Are the decisions that we make guided spiritually? Or are the things that we do and the things that we say, are they carnal? Notice with me, fourthly, Peter followed afar off. Peter followed afar off. Now I want you to listen to this point. If you haven't listened up until now and you don't want to listen after this, that's fair enough. But I want you to listen to this one. Look at verse 33. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Lord, I'm going to go with you all the way. Lord, I'm going to be there. Lord, you can count on me. Verse 54. Then took they him, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. Where's Peter? Where is Peter? What a contrast. From reading verse 33 and then we read verse 54. What a contrast. Peter is missing. This man who said, Lord, I'm going to be with you all the way. I'll die with you. I'll go to prison with you. And then when the Lord is there and he does need him, Peter's following him afar off. He can't even see him. He's so far away, so much behind him, he can't even see him behind him. How sad to be missing at the time when the Lord needed him most, when he needed support, when he needed a witness, when he needed somebody there. Peter's gone. These are the days in which the Lord needs his people to be living in close touch with him. Peter wasn't close to the Lord here. The Bible says he was following afar off. And we live in days today when the Lord needs people to be living in close touch with him. The Lord needs us to be strong witnesses for him. How do I know? Because I speak to people in the doors. And the majority of people, they don't go to church. The majority don't go to church. The garden is the place of worship. The shopping center. Some other activity on the Lord's day, that's their place of worship. And those that do go to church, about 8 or 9 out of 10 people that I speak to aren't saved because I'll ask them. And if they say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, and I'll ask them, I'll say, why or how? And the vast majority of them aren't saved. They're relying on some other thing. They give you a wishy-washy answer. The Lord needs us to be living close to him. People need to look at us and say, yes, that's what a Christian really is. Because they think they are Christians. These are days in which the Lord needs you. Then he needs us to stand up and speak a word. The Lord needs us to stand up for him. We need to take a stand for the Lord. And I always tend to say it. Whenever you do stand up for the Lord, do it with grace. Do it with love. Don't do it with an arrogance. Whenever you're witnessing to people, do it with a love. Do it with compassion. Do it with tenderness. There's a way in telling somebody that they need to be saved. There's a way in telling somebody that Jesus died for them on the cross. Don't preach at them. Just tell them with love. I always use the analogy, because I've done it for long enough, as a salesman. You'll know that I served my time as a salesman, and I never achieved a sale by being aggressive. Never. And I believe the Lord's work is the same. When I go to those doors, I'm not aggressive. I present it to the folk, and it's their decision. And that's the same with a salesman. A salesman wants to sell you something. He wants your money, whether you know it or not, he does. And he'll be persuasive, and as persuasive as he possibly can. And then he has to let you decide, will I buy it or will I not? That's the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your work colleagues about the Lord. Yes, tell them that they need to be saved. But it's their decision. Peter followed afar off. How are you following the Lord today? Are you in close touch with him? Maybe once you did go to the prayer meeting, not now. Maybe once you did burn bright for God, but not now. Maybe once you even used to seek the lost, but not now, because you're following afar off. Notice with me, fifthly, the fifth step was worldliness. Notice verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Now turn over to Psalm 1, verse 1. I'm sure you know this portion, this verse in Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Here was Peter, and whenever our Lord was being tried, Peter, a man who had promised him so much, where was he found? He was found with the world. Those that were rejecting the Lord. Those that didn't want the Lord Jesus Christ. And where was Peter? He was with these people. In verse 54, Peter sat down among them. He was in their company. He was in their conversation. He was with them. He was there, warming himself at the fire of the world. And in Psalm 1, verse 1, it tells us, happy is that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Peter couldn't have been a happy man in that company, because the Bible doesn't teach that he would have been. Let me ask you today, friend, what's your company? What company are you found in from Monday to Saturday? You know, it's an easy thing to be a Christian coming into a church like this. We can all dress up and we can look ever so fine. We can put a smile on our face and we can look ever so happy. We can carry a nice Bible and we can sing as loud as we can. And my being a Christian is a great thing. What about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? What about the home? What about those people that live with you in the home? Would they say that you're a Christian? Well, yes, it's an easy thing to say that you're a Christian in church. What about the home? What about your wife? What about the way that we speak to our wives? What about the way that we speak to our children? What about the way the wife speaks to the husband? What about the way our wife speaks to the children? Does that reflect the behavior of a Christian? It's an easy thing to be a Christian amongst Christians. But here was Peter, and where was he? He was amongst those in the world, those that were found rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we like that? Oh yes, on the Lord's Day, we're with the Lord's people. But during the week, we're with those of the world. Maybe you say, Mark, worldliness is a pretty strong term to apply to a Christian. Mark, you couldn't say that Christians could be worldly. Well, you have to ask yourself the question, what is worldliness? Worldliness is anything and everything that leaves the Lord Jesus Christ out. That's what worldliness is. Peter sat down with the world. Do we sit down with the world from Monday to Saturday? Now, I know that we have to go to work. I know that we have to share the canteen. I know that there are places that we must go and unsaved, unconverted, worldly people are there. I know that. And I have been there. But when I say sit down with them, I mean, do we really involve ourselves in their company? Do we really involve ourselves in their conversation? Do we really involve ourselves in their behavior, in their attitudes, in their approach? That's what I'm saying. Because remember, we're a Christian, and we must always stand for the Lord. Sadly, many Christians do sit down with the world because it's an easier thing to do. It's a harder thing to stand for the Lord. Are we warming ourselves by the world's fire? If we are, it's a sure sign that we have lost something of the fire that the Lord gave to us at the time of our conversion. To go on with God, we need to leave worldliness behind. What is worldliness? Worldliness is anything and everything that leaves the Lord Jesus out. Notice with me, the sixth step was Peter was insensitive. Things have gone from bad to worse here for Peter. It seems that Peter has become more and more insensitive to the Lord. Whenever we backslide, we literally slide more and more down a slippery slope from self-confidence to prayerlessness to carnality. We follow the Lord afar off. Worldliness creeps in, and then we become so insensitive that we could end up denying the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happened to Peter. There is no prayer that we need to pray more frequent than the prayer that the Lord will graciously prevent us from falling into such a state. He that thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. Peter never, never, never expected to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today and you're the same. But Peter did. Peter did. Peter was insensitive. Notice with me finally, the seventh step was open denial. Peter openly denied that he was a Christian. Verse 56 to 60. A certain maid beheld Peter as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. That's the first time. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Now you will notice the lapse of time that has passed here. An hour has passed, and Peter, this is the second allegation. Peter had time to think about what he had done the first time. He could have changed it. He could have said, yes, I am with the Lord. Yes, I was in his company, but he didn't. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Peter had sunk so low. Peter was so far away that it was an easy thing. An easy thing for him to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Not once, not twice, but three times Peter denied his Lord. How sad for a Christian to fall so far. Friend, we need to be ever warned, and we need to ever take heed that we don't leave ourselves open for problems. We need to walk close with the Lord. But we are glad today that we can conclude this message on a good note. We are glad today that we can point out the wonderful way in which Peter was led back. Peter was brought back. He repented of his backsliding and he returned to the Lord, because after the cock crew in verse 61, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. You know, as I read that verse, and I have those verses highlighted in my Bible, each and every time Peter denied the Lord, I have 1, 2, and 3 written and circled. And every time I come to this portion, I think of it this way. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. And it was only when the Lord looked at Peter that Peter remembered the warning that the Lord had given to him. It was only after he had denied the Lord that Peter then remembered, the Lord told me about that. The Lord warned me about that. It was then that he had remembered. It was too late. It was after he had denied the Lord. But what a look that was. Did you ever think about that look that the Lord gave to Peter? And Peter remembered, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. That look was a look that said, I love you. That look said, I forgive you. That look said, come back. That look said, come to me. Peter, come back. I love you. I forgive you. Yes, I'm sad, but I love you and I forgive you. Maybe you're here today and you're a backslider and you've wasted years of your life. Maybe you got saved as a young person and you've went on through life and you've squandered some of that time. You've went off into the things of the world and you've been cold. You haven't read your Bible. You haven't prayed. You've wasted your life. Maybe you're 35. If you live to 70, half your life's over. If you live to 40, there's most of your life over. Why not come back and give the rest of your life to the Lord? The Bible says that he's married to the backslider. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. The Lord wants to save you. Just as the Lord looked at Peter that day and he said, Lord, Peter, I love you. Peter, come back. The Lord's hand is outstretched to you today. And he says to you, unsaved friend, I love you so much. I died for you on the cross. Why don't you come to me and get saved? Why don't you come today and have your sins washed away and get ready for heaven? And for those of us that are here today and we are saved, we need to walk ever close with the Lord. We need to keep our eyes firmly fixed on Christ. Stand up for him. Speak a word for him. Maybe you say, Mark, I would never deny the Lord, and I have never denied the Lord. And maybe you never will. And maybe you never have, and maybe you never would. But what about the many times in the workplace, or the many times in the home, whenever you could have spoken a word for the Lord, but you didn't? You didn't. You just sat there. And we said nothing. I want to leave you with an instance. I maybe made reference to it here before, but there was a young fellow I sat beside many times in school, in 4th and 5th year. Down at home, the school system's a little different. You go to high school 1st to 3rd year, and then you leave and go elsewhere 4th and 5th year. I remember sitting beside that fellow many times. Many times. And a number of years ago, that fellow was called out into God's great eternity. And never once did I speak to him about the Lord. Never once. Out of all the classes that I sat beside him in. And he knew that I was a Christian because in my class there were two free peas. It was me and another fella. And we were just the two free peas. And that's, well, that's, you're happy enough with that. And they knew that we were Christians, and they knew that we didn't do the things that they did, and they knew why, in general terms. But I had never spoken to him. I remember at the time, he was killed as a result of an accident. I remember at the time I had heard that he had passed away. I just thought, you know, all of those opportunities, all of those times, that in conversation I could have spoken a word for the Lord, but I didn't. I didn't. I had failed the Lord. You know, maybe in our own little arrogant hearts, we sit here and we say, I would never deny the Lord. I would never deny the Lord. We need to speak up for the Lord. I trust this message has been a challenge to your heart. I trust it has blessed you. We want to close our service today with the words of Hymn 412. Hymn 412, I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, as it told thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. We want to sing the third and the fourth verse. The third and the fourth with the chorus, please. Take us home safely.